a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
Yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
We are young, man. We're a really good football team. Like, there's no time to hang our heads down. It ain't that bad. Like, we're going to figure it out for sure.
It's a really good football team, and it ain't that bad. That's CJ Stroud talking about your 6-3 Houston Texans yesterday. Hello and welcome aboard Gallant and George on Thursday, November 7th of 2024. I am Paul Gallant. He is Joe George. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass. Joe, do you share that enthusiasm?
I mean, the way you set it up, Paul, they're 6-3. They're a good football team.
Oh, you're back. I mean, you've got a Houston Texans sweater on.
Yes.
A Houston Texans hat on.
Yes.
I've got a Houston Texans hoodie, suns out, guns out shirt.
Yeah.
I think this is the J.J. Watt brand, Sean.
Question.
Yes.
Did that come with the sleeves off, or did you cut them
yourself? Good clarification.
It actually came with the sleeves off.
Okay. So it was J.J.
Watt
brand.
It's not like he did it on his own.
Okay.
Can you guess how much it cost at Academy Sports and Outdoors?
55.
47.
That's pretty good.
I saw it.
Worked at Liv.
Okay, I got this for like 80 bucks.
Oh, that's an 80. Well, it is a starter sweater.
Yeah,
so
it's a starter sweater.
It does.
Listen,
look nice.
We're swarming up a storm in here.
Swarming!
I am excited about Sunday night, but.
Good for you.
You're not excited about Sunday night?
The Lions are so good.
But it's the Lions at the end of the day.
That's the problem. They're the Lions. They still wore those damn jerseys.
They're beautiful jerseys.
Yeah.
But they're still the Lions. I don't know what's going to happen on Sunday. What I do know is that there seems to be an element of rabbit ears going on with the Houston Texans. And this is something that we've observed from Texans offensive linemen earlier in the year. Now, I'm curious, Joe, if you're starting to hear it with the Houston Texans head coach. Here is D'Amico Ryans at yesterday's Texans press conference talking about where this team is and how they can execute better.
Every game we've talked about, we've been in the games. We just, you know, people, I guess it's this narrative like we just... Not a good team, but we've been in games. We just haven't made the plays that, and it's not from a matter of, you know, effort and those things. It's a matter of being on the details, and that's what the league is about.
That sounds like rabbit ears. Now, I know that the top two culprits, Bill O'Brien, and then PR lady went to go work for the Jags, Amy.
Amy Palchik.
Big rabbit ears, I've heard. Back in the day. She was the communicator of things to Bill O'Brien, I had heard, back in the day. But a lot of people worked for her that are still within the Texans organization. And it wouldn't surprise me if they're the ones passing on the messages.
Texans PR, you think, maybe?
Yes.
To the coach?
To the coaches, to the players. But also social media just helps these guys be aware.
It does help them be aware when they speak to us and questions like this get asked so that they have a general idea of how to answer it. And you can hear D'Amico smiling as he said that. He was smiling as he said that. But he also said, I guess there's this narrative that we're not a good team. And it's not a narrative because what we have seen of late has not been what I believe to be a good football team. Clearly against the New York Jets in Thursday night football, but also all season long, I feel like you have been putting in a C-plus effort on a team that has, at the very least, B-plus talent.
100%. I mean, this is I was reading a power ranking from The Ringer, and part of their point for the Texans this year was that the offensive line was healthy, and they didn't expect them to also be significantly worse than last year. Like, you, across the board, should have been better this year. Another year of C.J. Stroud, another year of Tank Dell, Nico Collins. You add Diggs. You add a bunch of weapons on defense.
And yet, where's the improvement?
Exactly. Like, it really feels like they have six wins. But, you know, as DJ pointed out with us on Tuesday, last year they were blowing teams out. This year, everything is a one-score margin in which it's impressive that they keep winning those games, that they're locking down on defense or on offense. But everything feels like a chore for the Texans.
Winning is all that matters, but it feels like there is a clock ticking in the background, and eventually this is going to blow up in their face. And now it seems the Texans are aware of it. I did get a sense of rabbit ears from that, but I more so got a sense of rabbit ears from DeMeco Ryans when he was asked about the Texans at the trade deadline. Somebody asked him, hey, what does this mean about the confidence you have in your team that nothing went down at the trade deadline? Here is the head coach of the Houston Texans.
No, I didn't emphasize anything to our team. Like, we have the guys we have. I mean, everybody thinks the trade deadline comes and you're going to, as you know, find this guy who's going to save your team. I don't see it that way, right? Transactions were made across the league, and there has to be two parties available to do a trade. Everybody's antsy about trades. It's not just us going and taking somebody from another team. People have to be available, and the trade has to be on good terms for everyone. So I know everybody's in an uproar about us trading at the deadline. It's like, it's not from a lack of us working to get our team better and improve our team, but there's no savior coming to save our team, and there has to be two parties involved in trading.
Yeah, he's definitely aware that everyone, fans, media, thought that there was going to be a move, at least a move, at the deadline of some consequence.
Maybe, I don't know if it's that they thought a move was going to happen. I think everyone wanted one.
Wanted one, should have happened. They thought it should have happened at least. And so he's definitely aware. I mean, it's clear. And look, this is a guy that's going to be throwing on headsets and be hearing what's going on the radio right before he jumps on. So he's hearing people talk about him, I'm sure. The media questioning, I think, has actually gotten, I don't want to say like,
it's a little more pointed.
Yeah, pointed. Now, I was going to say aggressive, but yeah, pointed for sure. So I think you can, you know, some of that comes with the questions he's being asked mm-hmm. on a regular basis, where he's getting a lot more pushback all of a sudden in the last 3 weeks than he had his entire tenure so far as a Texans coach. So it's the questioning he's getting, but there's definitely rabbit ears when he's having to defend it in that way. And when you're bringing up the two-party system, that, you know, you have to have two teams have to want to make a deal. That feels like something he's prepared to go into a press conference with.
I'm sure that he talked with Nick Caserio, or he talked with, as you said a little bit earlier, someone in Texans PR, and they maybe prepared him for that and said, hey, there's a lot of people who are frustrated about a lack of moves. And that's why he said everybody's in an uproar about the trade deadline. And I just want to specify, I'm not in an uproar about that. I more believe that they've had multiple opportunities to address the interior offensive line, and instead they said, let's roll the dice on Kenyon Green. And I just don't think that was a smart bet. Obviously, we have the benefit of Captain Hindsight at this moment in time. But I also sensed him being annoyed with that answer specifically. He is annoyed that people are talking about this. And I'm sure that he and Nick Caserio have had conversations, and they're probably like, oh, man, I mean, what were we really supposed to do here? What could we have done here? And okay, actually, I will give him a little benefit of the doubt there as far as finding a second person to tango with, if you will. But still, it feels like they are more aware of criticism, and I would just tell all of them, do not pay attention to what we have to say. We appreciate it, especially if it were to give us numbies, ratings, something like that. Don't. This is how you become Hugh Jackson, is when you start paying attention to what people are saying about you. And guess what? Every single time that a first-year head coach and a first-year quarterback start to get into year two, questions will develop. Honeymoon phase is great, right? For those who are married, probably was pretty good at first.
Pretty good.
Now, I'm a cynical person, and I don't think I'm ever going to get married, but listen, at first, I'm sure it's great. The real thing is, can you keep it going afterwards? And it's just natural. Once it's not new anymore, when things aren't going 100% according to plan, which they rarely do in the NFL, people are going to start pecking at you. And you got to not give a bleep.
And they just shouldn't care, like you said. Like, they should not care at all what anyone has to say outside. But when you give the same answers every single week, I think that's kind of what causes the honeymoon period to end. When you keep telling us that sunshine and rainbows and everything's going to get fixed and we're going to keep working on it, and then you go out and it's not fixed, mm-hmm. and you say all changes are on the table, and then only changes are made because of injuries for the most part, then like it's like, well, we're going to call your bluff. And they shouldn't be listening. But we know the players in the locker room, they are for sure.
I definitely believe that, yes, 100%. And I don't know how many people are subscribing to Steven Nelson's podcast, where he has been rather pointed at the Houston Texans. I'm sure of anyone criticizing the Houston Texans, the guys are most aware of their ex-teammate doing it to specific elements of the team. And I will just once again say, nothing good comes from paying attention to what happens on social media. Be like me. Delete your Instagram. Delete your TikTok. Just do it. I only have Twitter on my phone because I'm required to have it, essentially, for work.
But permanently delete it.
I would love to delete it. I would. I would if I were, you know, everything that I've dreamed I could be. Mm-hmm. An elite athlete. Mm-hmm. Catching passes from Tom Brady for 10 years. It would have been amazing.
That would have been a great life.
Tear comes to my eye thinking about that. I could have been the I could have been the white savior wide receiver up there, the hard working, scrappy slot wide receiver for Tom Brady.
First one in, first last one out.
Yeah, it was, you tried there.
I tried.
You tried. Yeah, well, I appreciate the effort.
With the years of match, it would have matched.
Yeah,
up.
Yeah, I could have been.
You've been the same draft class as what Rob Gronkowski and that other tight end that they drafted.
Yeah, that guy.
You're probably the same age as Julian Edelman, aren't you?
Probably pretty close. He's achieved a little more, but there's still time left. Just like Jamie Lannister, you know, in the Book of the Kingsguard, there's still time left for a rather large woman to eventually write. Once I'm dead, because I decided to die with my sister, she can write in the book that I did something.
Mm. Gosh, I want to rewatch the last season of Game of Thrones.
Do you?
Yeah, that right there? Come on.
I watched the entire season again, the entire series again.
Up till?
And then I started the last season and I gave up. I was starting to get disappointed as I watched it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to bounce.
You know what? I recently did the exact same thing. And you know what I did? That exact same thing. Really? Breezed through it. And I was like, you know what? The end of season 6 is perfect. I don't need to watch anymore.
I think I got to the point where, like, I watched the Battle of Winterfell where the Night King dies. And that was the end.
It's hard to watch it.
Because it's so dark.
Yeah, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Speaking of darkness, while CJ Stroud, he is confident going forward. Again, my confidence took a major hit last night. And I do need to just get this off of my chest and get it out of the way. And oh, have your chuckles. So yesterday, had another rodeo committee meeting with my friends at the Poultry Action Committee, which I'm a part of. Good time. Really good group of people. And at one point, though, once again, it happened. A girl came up to me and asked me a very pointed question. Can you guys guess what the question was? Can you guys guess? You know what's coming. Can you guess, though?
Who'd you vote for?
No. Someone did ask me that. And okay. I did not answer that question.
Perhaps about your mustache?
It wasn't about
that. Have you always had the mustache?
Nope, it wasn't. It wasn't about
that. Have you always
had
the mustache other people have described as village people-esque?
She asked me straight up, are you gay? Oh.
They're direct at the Poultry Action Committee.
Dude, it's everyone. This just happens to me all the time.
No, when you said no.
I laughed. And okay. and then I asked, like, seriously, what is it? What is it that makes you think that?
I like the follow-up question.
Be honest.
Because I even told her, I was like, this is a recurring bit, and I never answer the question of it because I think it's hilarious. But it happened again. It's incredible.
Did she answer? Like, why?
No, she didn't. She was like, and started, like, laughing a little bit because she felt very awkward after she decided.
I'm sure she did.
No. What?
She shouldn't. I really do not mind when people ask me that or call me that. I really don't.
I think you need to.
But it is really. I want to know why it keeps happening.
I would have held her feet to the fire. Stop laughing. Tell me why.
Yeah, you need like a counterpunch.
Do you ask every single person in here? Like, are you taking a census?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
what's the most offensive thing you can ask back?
That's not productive.
Yeah, I'm above that. I don't need to ask something back. I don't need to counterpunch back. I don't. I just think it's funny that this happens over and over and over again.
He's better than Joel Embiid and Jason Kelce. He doesn't need to clap back.
713-780-3776. Why does everyone think I'm gay? This is the most important thing on today's show. We could talk about the Houston Texans having rabbit ears. They also added somebody, and it's an unconventional approach. I'll just leave it at that. They added somebody to fix their problem. Very unconventional. What am I talking about? Find out next. It is Gallant and George. He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes behind the glass. Stay put.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. It's Gallant.
Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Chandler, play action is back. He's under pressure. Fires. It's intercepted.
Zach Thomas.
Touchdown. It's a touchdown. Zach Thomas. It's a touchdown, Miami.
All right, Miami. What an unreal play by Zach Thomas.
So that is the newest member of your Houston Texans, Zach Thomas. That was a pick six that he had at the Astrodome of Chris Chandler back in 1996, for those who don't remember. And the Texans, they added Zach Thomas yesterday. They claimed him off of waivers. I didn't even know he was on waivers, because Zach Thomas, guys, in case you didn't know, is a 51-year-old Hall of Fame linebacker. And I don't really get what the Texans are doing here. It's a little desperate because he is listed as an interior offensive lineman. So I don't know what they're doing. I feel like this is desperate. And Nick Caserio, he knows this guy's 51, right? And that he played linebacker, right? No one's saying anything here. Okay, so obviously I'm right. This is bizarre. I do not understand what Nick Caserio is doing here.
I got really bad news for you.
You got bad news?
It's not the same Zach Thomas.
You don't know ball. What are you talking about?
It's not the same.
Yeah, it is.
It's not the same.
Dude, I know the NFL's history like the back of my hands, and they signed Zach Thomas, 51-year-old, who's 5'11", to play on the interior offensive line. They claimed him off of waivers. This mother bleeper is retired.
His name is Zachary. Actually, they're both named
that's
Zachary.
The same. Zachary.
I think that's where the confusion starts.
What confusion? His full name?
No.
Zachary Michael Thomas. He's a 5'11", 228-pound man that was born September 1st in 1973 in Pampa, Texas. He went to Texas Tech.
It's not the same guy.
Yes. What do you mean?
They signed Zachary Thomas, who was born in 1998.
No.
And last played for your New England Patriots.
Never heard of him.
And went to San Diego State.
No, that's not.
And it's from California.
What are you talking about? That's not who they signed. But
like Tom Brady was a 6th-round pick. But okay. Not for the Patriots.
Okay, listen to me. I've been studying the NFL since I was 7, okay? There are very few people who have NFL knowledge on my level in this city, okay? It's bereft. And this guy is a 51-year-old who's in the Hall of Fame. I don't know what they're doing. This is desperation by Nick Caserio. And honestly, 713-780-3776, does Nick Caserio need to be taking a look at his resume and polishing it? Because this is the most pathetic and desperate thing I think I've seen in a really long time. And I don't understand what you're doing, saying, oh, there's not the right Zach Thomas. There's only one Zach Thomas. This guy with the big neck, whose neck is literally wider than his head.
I know I work with two people that have, you know, like not normal names. Like there's not a lot of Paul Gallants out there, I would imagine.
There is one. He invented the 3D puzzle. He's dead.
But as someone that tries to make email accounts or Twitter accounts and has to go through 300 options, there can be more than one person with the same name.
No.
There's a gajillion Joe Georges.
No.
That seems like it'd be very confusing.
It is. So there's this a different Zach Thomas.
You both are looking at me like I'm wrong.
Well,
I mean,
you are.
I feel like it would be bigger news if a 51-year-old pro football Hall of Famer.
I mean, this is classic Houston media not paying attention to what happened. This is a 51-year-old man. They signed a 51-year-old man off of waivers. What? They had to wait to claim off waivers? This guy, waivers in the Hall of Fame?
I'll tell you.
They just took him out of the Hall of Fame,
too. Did you watch
the
movie The Rookie last night? And maybe, like, hallucinated? I don't know. Got the wires crossed.
Of all the 51-year-olds, this would not be the one that's at the top of my list.
I mean, I would choose.
I would probably get one that play guard.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see how old Steve Hutchinson is or something. But yeah, Paul. I don't know what to tell you. They're both white, right?
Oh, you guys.
Now
are saying,
I see what happened.
So I think all white people look the same.
Yes.
I don't see color, so that would make sense.
So Zach.
I think all white and black people and Asian people look the
white.
Same.
Same person.
Yeah.
Do you think people believed I really feel that way? I hope that some people did.
We definitely have some texts being like, fire this man.
No, honestly, we don't. Oh. They're all still about the last question Paul asked.
Oh, I know. People realize, yeah. This would be a good way to...
People are focused on the other question the right now.
Important issues.
Well,
yes.
Well, we'll get back to it in a moment. Anyway, yeah, they claimed an offensive tackle, Zach Thomas, from the Patriots. I guess this guy has played a little bit of guard. We'll see. You know?
Sure. Love it. That's all the guys that they've picked up, which at some point, do they run out of space to keep signing practice squad adjacent guards and tackles that might play guard?
I guess so.
I mean, at least he's off a team. The other guys weren't even on teams.
Yeah, they've signed like four guys.
Yeah, so like the guys who aren't on teams, like they can just sit on the practice squad and they're not worried about it. I would assume Zachary would actually
play.
Well, actually, maybe or be on
dress.
The roster
yeah.
and dress.
Maybe.
Because he came
I mean, not on Sunday,
squad.
But going yeah. forward.
So I threw out a question in the last segment because yesterday while I was out and about, somebody asked me, a woman, once again, Paul, are you gay? And look, I don't take issue with it, but I asked the question at 713-780-3776. Why is it that so many people think I lead that way? Let's see. From the 713, LOL Softboy, kidding, you're good people, sir. Yeah, some that doesn't, you know, I can be a good person and lean that way if I did. And maybe I do. I don't even know. Caleb says it's your voice. Another person says, you sound like Jerry Seinfeld. What's the deal with everyone thinking I'm gay?
I don't know if this person's ever heard Jerry Seinfeld talk before.
Or you talk.
Like,
yeah, I don't think I really do that unless I'm putting it on for an effect. What's the deal with airline food?
Yeah.
What's the deal with signing 51-year-old Hall of Famers to play guard? He was a linebacker.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. You don't sound like Jerry Seinfeld.
Okay.
Even you trying to sound like him doesn't.
Yeah,
really
it's not
sound
a good impersonation,
like
I can tell. From the 936, have you ever considered that perhaps someone else sees the real you while you continue to lie to yourself? Damn, Eric the Driver.
Oh, come on, Eric.
That hurt my feelings a little bit. Keith from LA says, that's why the girl left you and went out to California to go to college. Keith listens to Wild.
What a callback.
That is a very good callback. For those who don't know, the first woman I ever loved, she transferred from Syracuse to Southern California. It was a smart move. I get it. Still devastated me inside, for sure.
Still to this day, clearly.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Art asks, what happens first? Christian Harris plays an NFL game where Paul comes out as gay. Come on, guys.
You got until week 13.
No,
week 15. After the bye, yeah.
We got a month and a half.
After the bye week, which... Yeah. Could mean a lot of things for Paul.
Another text. It's because of your slight upward inflection in your voice. I do have a flamboyant sounding voice. Goes up, goes
like what's,
down.
Okay, like what's happening in these meetings that like gets you like amped up? Like talking about poultry. Like at the end. Or I think, what are you wearing in these meetings, Paul?
War.
That's an ugly question.
Like, are you wearing
saying he was asking for that question to be asked?
Are you wearing a Hawaiian short?
Well, I wear a spandex thong. Okay. One piece.
How long are the shorts when you go to these meetings?
No, I'm wearing I'm wearing cowboy boots. I'm wearing bootcut cowboy jeans. I'm tucking a nice button-down shirt into them. My sleeves are rolled up. I don't know. I feel like if no one knew who I was, I could potentially cosplay as if I am some sort of cowboy.
Cowboy hat?
No cowboy hat, no. My hair, okay. Come on.
Sup, partner? Is that how you're...
Howdy, partner. Yeah, I mean...
How you doing, cowboy? Is that how you're starting?
I don't know. Like,
howdy doing, cowboy? Smack him on the ass.
Yeah. Why do people think I'm gay?
Anyway.
Probably get away with it.
It is truly my favorite recurring bit. I wish that when I did stand-up opening for Donnell Rawlings that one time, I really thought that what I wrote was funny because all the jokes are about how everyone thinks I am. And I think a lot of people were probably like, yeah, because you are.
That's why
no one laughed. They're like, yeah, man, just come out of the closet. Yeah, it's okay.
They're on the drive home. They're like, that guy was really struggling with the sexuality. Yeah. That guy is in denial.
I like the one text that said, just say yes, you are, and ask what gave it away. Because then you will get the answer that you were looking for of why people assume you're gay.
Hmm. Okay.
And then as soon as they give you the answer, you'll be like, I was just testing
gotcha.
You.
Gotcha.
I'm strict.
Gotcha!
But I did want to know.
Like John Taffer when he comes into the bar.
Shut it down!
Shut it down! I'm not gay!
Anyway, guys, I'm glad that we could all have fun talking about this. It truly does not bother me. I think it's very funny. Honestly, if you're a listener and you see me in person, just ask me that question. I will probably laugh. There's only one time I've ever gotten mad about it, and it was because a girl I was attracted to in a bar just did that randomly, but she did it in like a really disgusted way, and I was like, you bitch. You look like you're 40.
She did it in a homophobic way.
Yeah, she did. She 100% did. And then I was like, damn, so this is how it feels.
Yeah, I do feel like there's like two different ways to ask the question. There's like the homophobic way, and then there's like the genuinely curious way.
Yeah, anyway.
Now, do you feel like this lady last night, she was curious, hoping the answer was no?
Yes, I do. I do.
So that's good.
I do.
Only he didn't answer.
But it's one of those things where I'm new to this committee, and I do not want to create any drama. And I think it might create drama, so... We're going to, as I've said before, there's no dating going on for me and for the rest of the year. None. So let it be written, so let it be done until I completely ignore it when it suits my convenience. That's how you make a vow, people.
Yeah.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean's by the glass. Come on, George. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So you want to weigh in on the Texans having rabbit ears? You can. They did add an offensive lineman, but I'm not sure that Zach Thomas is going to have much of an impact. We are 96 days away from Astros pitchers and catchers reporting. We continue our countdown. Yesterday, we were talking about all that was said about Alex Bregman. But what is the latest on, one, Justin Verlander, two, Yusei Kikuchi, and three, we heard something yesterday on the Astros front that I feel like we've heard a million times. Is this the time we could finally be excited about it? Stick around, Gallant and George.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Are the Texans a little too sensitive? You can weigh in on that, or you can try to help me figure out why so many people keep on asking me out in public if I'm gay. Hi, it's me, Paul Gallant. Am I? I'll never answer that question. Virginia Buttonweed on Twitch says, Paul Gallant sounds like Freddie Mercury doing a Seinfeld impression. I don't know, maybe I look like Freddie Mercury doing a Seinfeld impression with the mustache?
Yeah, Stash Lane's Freddie Mercury vibes for sure.
Junior Broncos is suggesting I start dipping. That would look very manly.
I mean, it definitely would help. Not to generalize, but I don't think I've ever met a gay man that dips.
Whoa. Okay.
I would like to see the demographics on that.
It doesn't exist. Likely. Actually, wait. I think that's not true now that I think about it.
Yeah?
But he's a bodybuilder, so it almost doesn't count.
Why doesn't it count?
Because he's jacked. He's like the most manly dude I've ever met.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Just saying.
Okay.
Does a Zin count? Or Zin's not that manly, right? Like, Zin's less manly, but Zin does seem more effective.
I feel like it doesn't give off the perception that Junior Bronco is trying to.
Gotcha. Yeah. Right. If I don't have a big old chaw inside of my mouth, spitting onto the floor.
Yeah, there's no spitting. Okay. So you need to bring a spittoon. Like a big old spittoon.
Or just a Gatorade bottle. I think that would also get there.
Yeah. It's so annoying to carry that around, though. That's what I've always wondered about. Like, it's not just the fact that you are putting essentially fiberglass into your mouth so we can rip it open and so you can get the nicotine and all that stuff and the tobacco effects in there. It's more, you got to carry around a cup or a plastic bottle. And at some point, I imagine everybody accidentally drinks from it. Every single time.
I've never drank from mine.
Okay, good.
Now, did I watch a drunk friend in college drink from mine?
Of course.
Yes. I was going to say, I don't think everyone's has accidentally taken a drink. But
yeah.
Someone's responsible for the drink. Like, someone's been around when it happened.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, I'm for sure. I feel like that's happened a lot.
It's part of it. It happens. I feel bad when it happens.
It's the risk you run. It's one of the risks you run by doing it.
Yeah.
A text. Paul definitely walks in looking like Jamie Dudden at the Paltry meetings. If you've watched Yellowstone, that is quite the insult. But bravo. Bravo. I'm Jamie. My God.
Are you going to watch this weekend?
Oh, yeah. 100%. Even though, I love that show.
But what's his name's not coming back? Costner?
I think he is back.
I think this is his last season.
Yeah, you're probably going to kill him off.
Like he filmed like half the season, and then he said he wasn't coming back because of of filming schedules.
They probably killed him. Well, I mean, it's a bummer. I don't know why they're revealing that ahead of time. Anyway, guys, we are 96 days away from Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach. Give me that bone.
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach.
I think a lot of us believed that Justin Verlander had thrown his last pitch for the Houston Astros. But yesterday, Astros GM Dana Brown told the MLB Network's John Morosi that he is talking to Verlander's agent, so we'll know a little more about his plans. JV's time here in Houston's been outstanding, been a big part of the winning tradition here, and so we're going to talk with his agent and probably know a little more later. Dana Brown, he's a politician, always sounds optimistic, and I'm sure he's not somebody that wants to burn a bridge with Justin Verlander, even if Justin Verlander is burnt out. But I was surprised hearing that they're having conversations.
Yeah, I know he also talked about, we played the audio yesterday, and we talked about potentially adding pitching depth. Like, maybe that's what they view JV as a depth guy. But this has got to be an order from top down, right? If Justin Verlander's back, Jim Crane's saying, keep my golfing buddy here.
Oh, no.
But like, even if you're Justin Verlander, like, you just got left off the playoff roster. Do you want to be here? Because you're not a playoff pitcher for this team next year.
I wouldn't think so.
Unless, like, you have a major career turnaround, but...
Unless he goes to Germany. I mean, yeah, unless he has a major career turnaround.
I mean, like, if he's making, like, $2 million, sure.
Mm-hmm.
What's, like...
I wonder what... though he would actually take, like, if he's going to go through a full calendar year, there's no way he's taking less than $10 million, right? It's a 162 game slate.
I was going to say, like, single digit millions would be my limit. Once you get to like 10, 12, that's when I'm like, we're doing this for a guy, like Joe said, that if you're healthy and in the playoffs, probably doesn't get the ball.
I just think $8 million, like, it's too much.
Yeah, I agree.
That's $6 million that could go to a backup third baseman.
Yeah,
or a left field outfield. They want a left field, a lefty outfielder. Give $6 million to that guy.
Yeah, it depends. I guess it depends partially on what they're willing to spend on that guy and on other places. There doesn't seem like there'd be room for a lefty outfielder and both Myers and McCormick. That just seems unlikely to me. Like, it seems like you're looking for left-handed McCormick or left-handed Myers, mm-hmm. if you're doing that. So I don't know how much – I also don't know how much money they're willing to play with, you know?
Brown also talked about those two, and it sounds like they're working on bringing those guys back for what it's worth. But to bring it back to Verlander, Verlander's contract had the clause hit where he pitched a certain amount of innings. He would have made $17.5 million next year. This past season, he was earning 22.544. If they're bringing him back, I will once again say, you know, eight actually semi-tolerable if you have him in a different kind of role, maybe. Like a bullpen, like middle relief guy. But, I mean, that would be so weird. Yeah, I agree.
Could it be like a six with a bunch of bonuses to get a... So that way, when John Morosi or whoever tweets out the deal, they can go a one-year deal worth up to $15 million.
That is a great idea.
It's honestly really like $6 million, and then if he pitches 100 innings, it goes up. If he makes a playoff start, it goes up. Stuff like that.
Yeah, like that would be what makes the most sense. If you're Verlander, the question is, it's like... Does money matter more than 300 wins? He's at 262 wins. He is the only pitcher left that has a chance at 300.
Man, he's so far away. That's two seasons, best case scenario.
That's 220-win seasons.
Yeah, he needs like four more seasons probably.
Yeah.
Like, if I was Verlander and I was chasing 300, I would sign with the Dodgers.
And just rack up wins.
Exactly. It's going to be the best team in baseball. You could probably give up five earned runs in five innings, and you might still get a bunch of wins because they're going to be so good again next year. Like,
fair point.
But, like, I don't...
But is he going to be healthy all year? Yeah. Is he going to pitch decent enough to actually last in a game where he'd be allowed to get a win?
Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah, I don't see it happening. I will be bummed if he's on another team. There's a part of me that would prefer he just retires. But, hey, it's his decision. I'm not telling him, hey, get out of our game. I just don't think he's going to help the Astros next year. And, I mean, if we're looking at any benefits for this coming season, it's that you have $17.5 million that is free to sign Alex Bregman or a variety of other players that are free agents right now.
Yeah. Bringing back Justin Verlander would surprise me.
You also saw the report that they're having internal discussions about moving on from and trading Presley.
Presley.
Chandler Rome had that one.
Chandler reported that. He's up $14.5 million this year. He does have a no-trade clause.
Yeah, so you're probably sending him somewhere he would like to go.
But there are teams that I think would look at Presley and say, he's better than what we got at closing baseball games right now.
Do you think you're going to have to eat some of that money to send him?
I mean, if I was, I'd eat half of it to get a prospect back. Like,
yeah.
Hell, if I was, I might eat more if it was like an okay prospect.
Yeah, so I'm just asking that as far as like the how much money is coming off the payroll, if you take into account Verlander and let's just say half of Presley.
I'll be honest.
Now you're close to like 20-ish. So
I think he'll be a Cub. I think Ryan Presley will be traded to the Cubs.
All right. Do you want him on the Cubs?
I don't know. Maybe he's better than
that's
what
a
I
no. Just like, say no. No,
but that is Cubs bullpen is so bad.
It's so bad. I mean, they had to cut Hector Neris. But like they have an outfield problem. They've got too many outfielders.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then, well, you don't want Presley. So like maybe there is a match to be made there.
Lefty outfielder
Like you got Ian Happ, who's a Gold Glove winner, who is a switch hitter, like could be an option here that solves both teams' problems a little bit.
I understand what you're saying on that, but I'm going back to what I was saying in the regular season, and maybe this is just a me thing. This is like going around with a product that you know doesn't work, and you're trying to sell it to somebody. And, okay, if you even pull off the sale, everyone's going to trust you a little bit less if you pull it off across baseball. I really wonder what's realistic to get in exchange for him, because I feel like he's very clearly not the kind of pitcher that you want in a crunch time situation at this moment in his career.
I just think there are just dumb baseball teams that will say, this is what he is as a closer. This is what he is as an eighth inning guy. So we're going to take the chance that he's the closer. And if it doesn't work out, he's only our closer for this next season.
And it could be a little bit of reclamation project for reclamation project.
Yeah.
Where it's, hey, we need a dart throw on a closer, and the Astros need a dart throw on whichever position they feel like they need one at. But it's betting on, like you saw with the Astros with Yusei Kikuchi, like once we get him, we can make him better. Now, if you're the team receiving an Astros pitcher, and you're like, wait, we're going to develop a pitcher better than the Astros? Okay. But hopefully it was all mental, and it was because he wasn't a ninth inning guy, and once he comes in, we call him our closer, and he'll just be back to 2022, 2023, Ryan Presley. That's the hope if you're receiving him. But yeah, that's why I think they're going to have to eat some of his contract to move off of him.
Yeah, but I'd be fine with that. I don't know if Jim Crane is. Well, he ate two contracts last year.
And they would all come off the books after 25.
Yeah.
So
we'll see what happens. We'll continue the countdown tomorrow. We'll talk about Yusei Kikuchi. 96 days away from Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training. Let's just go straight through. The Rockets played the San Antonio Spurs last night, and they won again. So they're 2-1 against the Spurs to this point. I'm not going to lie, I love a little football in my basketball. You guys all know this. So seeing Alper and Şengün send Wemby to the floor in the middle of last night's game, that got me going. That got me going. That's the thing I'm most excited about from last night. Not that they smoked the Spurs 127-100. It's that Şengün is putting his shoulder into Wemby. I love that. I love that mentality.
Then I like the Jalen Green attempted poster on Wemby also.
Yeah, I like that.
I just like the attempt.
That's balls.
Like yeah. I want this poster.
Let's not do that, you know, every time down the court, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
It was like a fast break kind of broken play. He had the head of steam. Like, just go for it, man. And you know,
I mean,
say what you want about Jalen Green. Confident guy.
Yeah, everyone in the NBA wants that poster.
Yeah.
To, like, have the poster on Victor Wembanyama.
Because I don't know if there has been like a super high profile one.
Probably not to this point. They are shooting less threes the last couple of games. I do like seeing that. And Fred VanVleet, actually really good last night.
Now, he's been really good the last couple of games.
I'm not expecting this to continue. Yes.
What, 10 for 11?
No.
I'm not expecting
10 for 11 to continue. Yes, Sean, that's a great point, man. But this was one of those games. I mean, shoot, look how many guys played. I think, what did you say, Sean, when there's a certain player that came into the game, you're like, yeah, I'm out.
Jay Sean Tate and Aaron Holiday checked in. I was like, I've seen these guys play enough the last 3 years or 2 years. I'm good.
I didn't even know they had a guy with the last name McVay on the team.
Yeah. Too soon? Australian, I think.
Oh, he's Australian. Okay.
And he doesn't have a real basketball number, so that's how you know. Like,
that is tough.
He's number 58.
That's tough.
Cam Whitmore's got to be pissed off about playing 7 minutes in a game that they won by 27 points.
He
was kind of part of that. He was part of the Jay Sean Tate, Aaron Holiday check-in.
That is interesting.
Yeah. That's one of my big – I think the thing I'm surprised the most by that that's continued because, I mean, look, we know he got sent down to the G League last year. Mm-hmm. But then when he came back, he played a lot. And then this year, he's just not part of it.
Some of that was due to injuries at that point. Because I think that was when Thompson and Eason were both out. So he kind of moved up the depth chart there. So, yeah, it is interesting that Whitmore seems to be the member of the core seven that is having the hardest time on the court. Even Reed Sheppard normally is around 10 minutes a game. Played 20. I'm sure some of that came because they're up 25 the entire game.
I want more Whitmore in there. I want more fights. I want Dylan Brooks and Cam Whitmore to start more fights. Yeah. I think Cam Whitmore will 100% try to deck Victor Wembanyama. And I'm all here for it. Does that make me a bad person? Maybe. I don't know. I want the Rockets to be more like the Bad Boy Pistons than I want them to be like the Showtime Lakers.
Early in the season, how do you feel about our over-under? Was it 4.5 fights this year?
I think there'll be more. I imagine the next time Shengun and Wembanyama are going to get separated.
Yeah, I was going to say, and it got spicy. It's the Spurs, I mean, the next time they play is in February, the end of February.
Crazy they played three games in less than 10 days.
Half their season is basically against the Spurs.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if there wasn't some sort of scuffle, some you know, needs to be separated.
Well, the one guy who said bleep the Rockets, he broke his hand, right?
Yeah, Sohan's out for probably a month. I mean, there was the tie-up the last time they played, the last time they played in San Antonio with Brooks and Wembanyama. So something's brewing.
Something's brewing.
Maybe they just need to play a couple more times in the next 2 weeks. If they really just played a playoff series against each other here to start the season, that would get the juices flowing.
Yeah, but it's nice to see them win it a little bit of a different way, like kind of each time they're out there. And they only took 27 threes in this game. Jalen Green took the most on the team with 9. He was 4 of 9 from the three-point line. This is a team that can win in the paint because of who they have on their roster. So that's one of the advantages of the Rockets is that whatever's working for them, they can just roll with in a game, and they're not stuck in the same pattern every night like a lot of teams.
Tomorrow's the big game. Tomorrow they play the Thunder. Thunder had their first loss. Thunder had their first loss last night. I think Russell Westbrook for the Denver Nuggets, weird to say, was the one who was carrying things for them. So tomorrow will be interesting. We'll talk about that game before it tips off a little bit tomorrow. Just a couple of random little NBA notes. Did anyone see Paul George getting booed in his return to the Clippers? I'm not going to lie. I did not think that the Clippers had that in their bag, that they would, like any Los Angeles sports fan, would boo somebody upon their return after signing in free agency elsewhere. And Paul George was pissed about it, it sounds like. It is stupid. I was a free agent, you know what I mean? It wasn't something I demanded a trade or went against the team here. I was a free agent. The team presented something that was team-friendly, and I did what was best for me in that situation.
I mean, I get what he's saying.
Soft boy.
I get what he's saying, where it's like, hey, you know, like, guys are way meaner about that. Like James Harden got a standing ovation back with the Rockets, and he was way meaner about getting out.
That was disgusting.
But, yeah, I mean, also Paul George. I mean, it's like what we were talking about. I forgot if it was off the air or on the air with him getting a tribute video.
Yeah, we were wondering if he would get one, and he did.
Yeah, I'm like, what are we doing?
But they booed him during it. I love it.
Good. Yes, that balances out. That's probably, on average, what should have happened. It's like he's probably good enough to maybe get a video, but he also shouldn't get the Steve Ballmer saying your jersey's going to be in the rafters one day, because what did the Paul George era accomplish, nothing, really, with the Clippers? And nothing.
Relevance? They were kind of,
sure,
relevant?
I don't know. I mean, they're, sure, they still weren't as relevant as, like, Lob City.
Kind of Kawhi's fault, though.
It's definitely Kawhi.
It's all Kawhi.
It's a little bit on both of them. Mostly Kawhi, but it's a little bit on both of them. Yeah. Okay. He's not exactly Cal Ripken, all,
that's,
right?
That's fair. That's fair.
But what I did see, not only were they booing him, the wall that they have of all their fans, mm-hmm, there's a picture where the entire section was standing with their back turned to him.
Oh, I love it.
That,
that's,
is
fantastic,
such a great move. I think we need to incorporate that more. The, like, we are publicly shunning this,
yeah,
player.
I like it.
Not even booing, just shunning. Like, we're not looking at you, that's Paul, fantastic, George.
Astros, Alex Bregman.
Hey,
I'm, no, just kidding,
he's a,
I'm kidding.
No, no, no.
Two-time champion.
But Astros fans have done it with Correa already. So
Jose Abreu.
Well, not, well,
he won't be in the league.
He's not, yeah, unless they're playing some sort of exhibition against some other team. I don't even know if Cuba wants to bring him back, you know?
Probably not.
Kind of where things are.
I'm sure the baseball teams would love to have, mm-hmm, him. I'm not sure if the government would.
Probably not. Sean Mapes behind the glass, Joe George to my right. I am Paul Gallant. We have some more NBA stuff to talk about. We'll do it later in the show. Coming up next, the Texans struggles, guys, I think they're in the rearview mirror because of one three-letter word the Houston Texans are incorporating into their program. Okay? Lions, watch out on Sunday night. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.